chapter 10, book of Romans, chapter 10. I'd like to read verses 8 through verse 17. Romans 10, verses 8 through 17. But what saith it? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart. That is the word of faith which we preach. If thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the Scripture saith, Whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. For there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, How beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. But they have not all obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah saith, Lord, who hath believed our report? So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. In the book of Romans, Paul establishes the doctrine of a by faith righteousness, justification by faith as opposed to works. The main theological theme of Romans is that the righteousness that comes, that this righteousness comes from God and justifies guilty, condemned sinners. And that this is by grace, through faith, in Christ Jesus. In our text, Paul continues this theme, and he is describing this faith and how it comes about. He describes it as something of the heart. In verses 9 and 10, he says, And shall believe in thine heart. In verse 10, For with the heart man believeth. It is also a faith concerning what God has done through Christ. In verse 9 again, And shall believe in thine heart that God hath, something he has done, raised him, Jesus, from the dead, thou shalt be saved. This faith results in salvation. Thou shalt be saved. It also results from verse 10 in an open confession. And we see that it causes one in verses 13 and 14 to call upon the Lord, this faith that he's talking about. In our text, he expounds upon the fact that this faith is brought about through the hearing of the preached word of God. He mentions that in verse 14, verse 15, and verse 17. In other words, God brings about faith through the instrument of his word. He states emphatically in verse 12 that this is God's way regardless of race. And therefore, he says in verse 8, the word of faith, referring to the word of God, the word of faith which we preach. It is the Lord's instrument in bringing about faith. It's not our intention today to expound upon these verses, but we just want to center our thoughts around two words found in verse 17. The third and fourth words, faith cometh. Faith cometh. And that'll be our subject. Faith cometh. Again, notice those two words. Faith cometh. I've been stuck on those words all week. These are wonderful words. Faith cometh. They are wonderful words in light of what is said in Hebrews 11 and verse 6. But without faith, it is impossible to please Him. So how wonderful the words, faith cometh. They're wonderful words when you consider them in light of 1 John 5 and verse 4. For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. So once again, how wonderful those words. Faith cometh. No one comes into this world with this faith. No one. It is not a faith that can be produced or worked up by man. Many times God's people have, we probably all have, we've resolved in our hearts, so I'm going to have more faith. Doesn't work. You can't produce it. You can't work it up. It's not a faith that is passed down by our parents or by our grandparents or by anyone else for that matter. Notice in John chapter 1, verses 11 through 13. He came unto his own. His own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God. Even to them that believe, that's faith, same faith that Paul's talking about, on his name, which were born not of blood, it's not hereditary, nor of the will of the flesh, that is our own will, nor of the will of man, that is the will of anyone else, but of God. We're born of God, the new birth. Faith is the result of that, and it is of God. So faith is the work and the gift of God. Jesus said in John 6 and verse 29, this is the work of God that you believe. That you believe. This is the work of God. It's not our work. It's God's work. Acts 14 and verse 27, Paul and Barnabas with great excitement gathered the church together, and it says that they rehearsed all that God had done with them and how that He had opened the door of faith unto the Gentiles. And Paul very plainly states in Ephesians 2, verse 8 and 9, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it, faith, is the gift of God. Why not of works, lest any man should boast? And in Philippians 1 and verse 29, for unto you it is given in the behalf of Christ to suffer and to believe. It's given to us. And what does He use to bring it about? Romans 10, He uses the Word of God. Faith cometh. And since it is God that brings this about, since it is something that cannot be created in the natural realm, since it is something that we cannot work up, those two words, faith cometh, speaks of a miracle. It's a miracle. Faith cometh. Notice again those two words. Faith cometh. Does it not speak of a possibility? Faith cometh. It reads, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And here we are, under the hearing of the word of God. And therefore it is a possibility that faith cometh. These two words are possible right now. Faith cometh. We ought to long for such. We ought to desire such. We ought to be praying for such. We ought to expect such. So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And here we are, hearing the word of God. Does that not put us in the realm of a miraculous possibility? Faith cometh. Now I realize that the text is speaking of saving faith. But we want to make application to both the saved, to the unsaved, and the saved. And we need to be praying right now that faith would come. That faith would come. Consider these two words, faith cometh, with reference to the unsaved. In light of what we read in John 3 and verse 18, these are wonderful words, faith cometh. What we read there is, he that believeth on him, that's faith, is not condemned. But he that believeth not, the one who does not have this kind of faith, is condemned already. Why? Because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. Again, faith cometh. In light of John 3, verse 36, these are wonderful words. We read there, he that believeth on the Son, that's faith, hath everlasting life. And he that believeth not, that's the lack of this faith, shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. Faith cometh. In light of John 8, verse 24, these are wonderful words. What we read there is, Jesus says, ye shall die in your sins if ye believe not that I am he. Ye shall die in your sins. Unsaved sinner, these verses that we just referred to declare plainly that in your present state of unbelief, you are condemned already. You stand condemned at this very moment. You, if you could live the rest of your life without committing another act of sin, it will not change this fact. You are condemned. You are condemned. If you do not believe savingly in Jesus Christ, you are condemned. Your unbelief condemns you. In light of what we read in Romans 11, verse 20, these are wonderful words. Speaking of the Jews, it says, because of unbelief, they were cut off. Cut off. Again, to the unsaved, these verses declare that in your present state of unbelief, You will not see the life that is only in Christ. And the wrath of God dwells upon you. Humanly speaking, in comparison to others, you may be a good and moral person. But that does not change the fact that in your state of unbelief, you will not have the life that is in Christ. And it does not change the fact that the wrath of God dwells upon you. It is also declared in these verses that in your present state, if you were to die, you would die in your sins. And as we've said before, there is nothing worse that can happen to you. There is nothing worse that can happen to any individual upon this earth. Many terrible things can happen to you and I. But there is nothing that even compares to an individual who dies in their sins. And in your present state of unbelief, it ought to concern you that you can die in that condition. How terrible. But we read in our text, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Every one of us who is here and saved, we ought to be praying right now that faith would come to every unsaved sinner in this building. And there are unsaved sinners in this building. And we ought to be praying. We ought to pray every service, oh God, that you would send to them, that you would give them the gift of faith. Faith cometh. It's possible. It's possible right now. A faith that would cause the unsaved sinner to know and to see Christ as the one and only Savior of sinners. You know that in your head. Most of us that are here, we're here most of the time, and you've heard it over and over and over again. You know it in your head. But that's not the same thing as this saving faith. That's why many times it is easier to tell someone of their lost condition who has no church relationship whatsoever than someone who's been sitting in church all their life. Because they have these facts in their head. But please do not confuse facts in your head with this faith. There's a world of difference. There is an eternity of difference. A faith that would cause you to know and see. Again, you know this in your head. That would be so real, it's like you see it right now. Christ coming into this world for you. Christ living a perfect life of righteousness and putting that righteousness to your account, that you could see that. This is what it means. Faith cometh. You can see it. You can see it as plain as I can see you right now, as plain as you can see me. You can see it. Christ coming into the world and living a life of perfect righteousness. And saying, I put this righteousness on their account. Can you see that? Oh, that this faith would come. A faith that would cause you to let go of your so-called righteousness. Anyone who tries to defend themselves by their own works of righteousness. I'm talking about the lost. Well, I give to charity. I try to do good. I obey my parents, and on you can go. But you see, this is a faith that will cause you to see that all your righteousness in the sight of God are as filthy rags. And it is a faith that will cause you to let go of your own righteousness, leaving you nothing to plead except for Christ. This is the faith that we're talking about. It is a faith that causes you to let go of your own righteousness and depend completely, and I mean completely, upon the merit and the righteousness of Christ. Faith cometh. Oh, that faith would come to the unsaved sinner, causing you to see your own unrighteousness, causing you to see the righteousness of Christ placed to your account. Faith cometh. Cause you to know and see Christ not only living a perfect life of righteousness, but going to the cross with every single one of your sins. That you could see it, not just know it in our heads, but see it. And see Him bearing fully what we deserve because of sin. Faith cometh, and when it does, it causes you to trust completely in Christ's righteousness. It causes you to trust completely in the work of Christ upon the cross. It causes you to know. It causes you to see Christ coming victoriously out of the tomb, and you say, "That was for me. That was for me." And ascending back into heaven. Faith cometh. That this faith would come causing you to see, causing you to know today that Jesus Christ is the only way to God. You see, as long as you can say, "Well, Brother Dan, I'm doing the best I can," you don't have this faith. Faith cometh. And it causes you to see the best you can will not do. The best you can is not the way to God. There is only one way to God, and it's Jesus Christ. Oh, that faith would come causing you to see. He's the only way to God. You see, for the unsaved sinner, there is an unthinkable, inconceivable, and mind-boggling distance between you and God. But this faith causes us to know with beyond any shadow of doubt that Christ is the way that connects that distance. That you would see that Christ is the only way from the enslaving power of sin. He is the only way from the controlling power of sin and Satan. He is the only way out from the darkness of sin. He is the only way out from the ignorance of sin. He is the only way out from the blindness of sin. He is the only way out from the filth. He is the only way out from the vileness and the defilement and the sickness and the guilt and the condemnation of sin. When faith comes, the unsaved sinner sees these things clearly. The unsaved sinner sees, the unsaved sinner knows that Jesus Christ is the only way out from the depths of sin. Oh, how we need to pray.
for every unsaved sinner in this building. That faith, that this faith would come. We already know from Romans chapter 10 that God uses the preaching of His Word. And here we are. So there is a possibility that faith would come. And if it's going to come, God must send it. God must give it. As an unsaved sinner, in your present state, there is a guilt. There is a hopelessness that grips you. But it is this faith that brings hope. It is this faith that causes you to realize that He is the only way out of this hopelessness, this guilt. He's the only way. He's the only way out of the devastation of sin. When faith comes, you realize all these things, but it doesn't stop there. This faith causes you, and we see it in our text, to call out unto God. To call out unto God. You don't have to be in church to call out unto God. You can call out unto God anywhere. That's why you never know. Someone sits in the house of God, they hear the Word of God preached, they go away angry, they say, I'll never go back there again, but they can't get it out of their minds, and maybe 15 years later, God brings faith. You just never know. A seed has been planted. You that are saved, pray that faith would come to these who are perishing in sin. We that are saved, we know what it means, faith cometh. We can go back to that day. We can go back to that time. And we know what happened. And faith came. We also want to make application to those of us that are saved. Faith cometh. What a glorious possibility. We already have saving faith. There's different levels of faith in the Word of God. We have saving faith. Faith cometh. In light of the impact, in light of the power, in light of the force, in light of the workings, in light of the achievements of faith as recorded in the Word of God, these are wonderful words, faith cometh. Faith cometh. In light of the hindering and stripping power and the crippling power of unbelief, how precious those words, faith cometh. You see, all through the Scripture we have record of the utter failure of unbelief on behalf of God's people. In Matthew 17, the apostles were unable to cast out a demon. This greatly troubled them, and they asked Christ, why could not we cast him out? And Christ said, if ye have faith. They were unable because they lacked faith. But our text tells us, faith cometh. That is, it is possible that faith would come. How many things we are unable to do because of a lack of faith. There are those, they know what, as a child of God, they know what they should do, but they're crippled. They cannot do it because they don't have the faith. Oh, that faith would come. Oh, that faith would come. In Luke 24 and verse 11, the news of Christ's resurrection seemed to them as idle tales, speaking of God's people. because of their unbelief. And how often the Scriptures seem as idle tales to God's people because of unbelief. This is more than just children's stories. When faith comes, it's real. It's real. Faith cometh all through the Scriptures. We are warned against the dreadful dangers of unbelief. In Hebrews 3 and verse 12, we read, "Take heed, brethren." He's talking to the saved. "Lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God." And the fact that he says the living God, in fact that he does not say in departing from God, but in departing from the living God, the implication is that they not only departed from God, but they went to idols. Unbelief causes even God's people to cling to idols. Oh, but the possibility. Faith cometh. We read in Hebrews 4 and verse 2. "But the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it." How often people fail to profit from the preached word of God or from the read word of God because of unbelief. Oh, that faith would come. Hebrews 4, verse 11, "Let us labor therefore to enter into rest, lest we fall after the same example of unbelief." And oh, how we fall because of unbelief. Because of unbelief. So in light of all these things, how wonderful the words, "Faith cometh." Cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And here we are. We're in that realm. So the possibility now exists. Here we are under the hearing of the word of God, and we that are saved ought to be praying that faith would come to each and every one of us. From Luke 17 verse 5 and also 2 Corinthians 10 verse 15, we learn that faith is something that can increase. And all that an increasing faith would come to us. Again, think about those two words. Faith cometh. Oh, that such would come to each and every child of God today. We live in a world that is sinking deeper and deeper into despair. Deeper and deeper into depression and dissatisfaction. You know why? Because we live in a world that chases the wind because of unbelief. You chase the wind for any amount of time, you will find yourself in despair, in depression, in dissatisfaction. It is a world filled with utter chaos. But there is a possibility that exists at this very moment. Faith cometh. Oh, that such faith would come. Talking about God's people. A faith that would make God more of a reality than anything else. There isn't a person here that doesn't have problems. You may think you don't, but everyone has problems. And our problems are very real. They're very real. They're very real to us. Even if you imagine them, they're very real to you. Oh, that faith would come that would make God more real than our problems in our hearts. A faith that would make these Bibles come to life in our hearts. A faith that would cause us to love Him more. A faith that would impact every phase of our life. A faith that would enable us to see Him and to look to Him. Faith cometh. If you're here today, and again, I'm speaking to God's people at this moment, and you're depressed and you're down, oh, that faith would come, causing you to see Him. Causing you to look up. There's no reason for God's people to be hanging their heads today and to be looking down to the ground. All for a faith that would cause us to look up. Faith that causes us to lean more heavily upon Him. A faith that would cause us to lean all our weight upon Him. A faith that would cause us to cast all upon Him. A faith that would cause us to grab hold of God and to cleave to God. A faith that would cause us to let go of everything that's contrary. And to let go of our own thoughts. And to let go of our own opinions. And cause us to rely upon Him more fully. Faith cometh. When we come to hear the Word of God, it ought to be the prayer of God's people. Oh God, send saving faith to the lost. And oh God, send faith to my heart. A faith. It causes us to know. I mean to know it. As sure as we know our name. As sure as we know that we are here today. A faith that would cause us to know that spiritual things are always superior to and more advantageous than temporal things. A faith that causes one to desire and to seek spiritual things, heavenly things, over earthly things. A faith that would cause us to be occupied. A faith that would cause us to be obsessed with God rather than this world. A faith that would cause us to be more directed and more governed by God than the world. It ought to be our desire to be more and more under the government of God every day. To have our thoughts and to have our actions more and more directed by God every single day. And we ought to be praying, oh God, give me the faith to lay everything in your hands. Too many are trying to get out from under the government of God. We ought to be doing just the opposite. Requires faith. A faith that keeps this world from being our home. A faith that keeps us from driving our stakes too far into the ground. Oh God, give us that faith. It's possible. Faith cometh. A faith that lessens our attachment to this world. A faith that keeps us from being weighted down with the things and the pursuits of this world. The things and the pursuits of this world will weigh you down. They will hold you down. All for faith. To rise out. To rise above these weights. Crushing weights. Faith that keeps us from being distracted by this world. A faith that will cause us to rise above and cause us to resist the pull, the force of this world. A faith that will cause us to feel the pull of God more than the pull of this world. A faith that will keep us from being mastered and controlled by circumstances and people. We're all very capable of being mastered and controlled by circumstances and people. Oh, that faith would come, that we would be able to rise above. A faith that would cause us to have joy in the very midst of calamity and sorrow and trial. A faith that will cause us to worship and praise and to serve Him. A faith that will cause us to fellowship with Him. A faith that will enable us to enter into the Red Sea at His command. A faith that will enable us to stand before Goliath. A faith that will enable us to be willing to be cast into the fiery furnace. And a faith that will enable us to clap our hands and praise the God in the midst of the fiery furnace. Oh, that faith would come. A faith that would enable us to get out of the boat and to walk on the stormy waters. A faith that would enable us to walk on our storms rather than sink beneath our storms. Faith cometh. A faith that will make us more obedient to God. A faith that will make us more surrendered. A faith that will make us more committed to God. A faith that will enable us to be and to do whatever God has called us to do. Faith cometh. And it ought to be our prayer, you and I that are saved. It ought to be our prayer, oh God, send that faith to me today. Lord, increase my faith today. And we could say with Job, though he slay me, yet will I trust him. He's allowed everything to be taken away, Job is saying. And even if he kills me, oh, that I trust him. We need a faith that no matter what happens, we cleave to God. A faith that will cause us to say with Joshua, as for me and my house, we're going to serve God. Yes, this world is sinking deeper and deeper. But as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. Come what may, we're going to serve God. That faith would come to the hearts, especially of men, as the head of their homes. And if you're not the head of your home, you ought to be. And as the head of their home, that this faith would come, and they would say, as for my house, we're going to serve God. This is where we stand. Faith cometh. Oh, for a faith that will cause us to excel for God. It will cause us to go further for God. Is there any one of us that has gone as far as we can possibly go for God? No, we haven't even come close. Oh, for a faith that would cause us to go further for God. Further for God each and every day. No matter how far you go for God today, you ought to go further tomorrow. And this just keeps on. So here we are, under the preaching of God's Word. and the possibility exists, faith cometh. If you're here and lost, oh, we pray. We pray that faith, saving faith, would come to your heart. The day saving faith came to me, I wasn't planning on being saved that day. It wasn't my aspiration. I had no desire. I had no desire for God. I hated God. I was sitting there cursing God in my mind. But faith came. Faith came. I always, well, not always, but I try to remember what happened to me. When I see someone angry in the house of God, when I see someone go away angry, don't give up hope. Faith could come. And if it does, it'll make a difference. And for you and I that are saved, we know the Bible says the justified, the saved shall live by faith. You can't successfully live the Christian life without faith. We need faith. And the apostles, again, in Luke 17:5, prayed, Lord, increase our faith. And as I've mentioned before, I've heard preachers say, oh, don't pray that. Why not? Tell me why. The apostles prayed for it. And we ought to pray every time we come under the hearing of God's word, oh God, increase my faith. We ought to pray that every day. Lord, increase my faith. And how do you know when it's increasing? Because you are more and more heavily leaning upon Him. You're leaning more and more of your weight upon Him every single day. These are wonderful words. Faith cometh. Faith cometh. You and I, that if you're unsaved, you need to come to Christ. You need to come to Him right now. And it's going to take faith. It's going to take faith. Faith that only God can give. And we pray that He would give it. You and I that are saved, we know many things that we should do. We know what we need is faith. Well, I need this circumstance to change. No, you don't. You don't need any circumstance to change. What you need is faith. And there is only one who can give it. And we ought to be praying, God, give me that faith. Give me that faith today. So just think upon those two words. Faith cometh. Brother Larry, if you'd come and lead us in verse song.